The Property Pod. Welcome to The Property Pod with MoneyWeb. The property sector is an ever-changing sector. And in this podcast series, your host, Suren Naidu, chats to movers and shakers in the property industry.
Hi there and welcome to The Property Pod, South Africa's premier property investor podcast. My name is Suren Naidu, and on this weekly MoneyWeb show, we gain insider insights from leading CEOs, analysts, developers and entrepreneurs in the country's dynamic property industry. In August, Human Settlements Minister Mamaloko Kubai first mentioned plans in the works by government to look at changing the law to force banks to explain why they reject loans to anyone from previously disadvantaged backgrounds. She raised the issue of possible racial profiling when the banks and other financial institutions consider home loan applications. Other commentators have raised this issue before, but considering her profile as housing minister, Kubai's comments raised the ire of the Banking Association as well as other organizations like Sentinel Homes, CEO Renia Krek, who came to the defense of banks earlier this month. Essentially, Krek questioned the move, arguing that the minister is sidestepping the real issue around SA's housing backlog and the whole supply and demand side of the housing debate. Krek, who is an admitted attorney and has almost two decades of experience in home financing and the property investment sectors, now joins us on this week's episode of the Property Pod to share his insights on the matter. Renia, a very warm welcome to the Property Pod.
Thanks for having me, Suren.
Were you surprised by the minister's comments on this issue and moves into the banking sector in South Africa, as it were?
Yeah, I think I was very surprised, Suren. I mean, I said the minister was asleep at the wheel and accused her of rate baiting. I think that speaks of nothing more than my absolute astonishment at the fact that the minister was making these absurd and ridiculous allegations. I think much has been reported on in the press that the statistics quoted by the minister at the presser where she made these ridiculous allegations don't support the allegations that she was making. In fact, that the statistics that she was quoting supplied by her own department show that, in fact, it's more likely for previously disadvantaged individuals' applications to be approved. But I question those statistics and the data literacy and of the people who surround the minister, her team, because the statistics that she quoted simply don't make sense. You know, she was reporting on a period between 2018 and 2022. She was referring to upwards of 6 million applications. I recently conducted a study on the Bureau through some statisticians that I employ, and the fact of the matter is that in a much larger period of between 2018 and 2024, there were only, in fact, 792,000 or thereabouts home loans registered on the Bureau. So if the minister is talking about 6 million applications in a shorter time frame, that means that the data was indeed duplicated. It's a feature of the property market, you know, that you go to a bond originator. The bond originator sends the application to more than one bank, and it may also be approved in more than one spot. So the important thing really is whether previously disadvantaged individuals are actually getting their applications approved. That's one story. But the other story is whether those applications are then registering. You know, and so if you don't consider the actual thing that we're trying to manage, which is home ownership, then why are we quoting these statistics to begin with? So it seems to me, firstly, that the minister, you know, is poorly advised. And secondly, the race issue is like trying to manage the municipal water supply by focusing only on taps. You know, the outcome at the tap is not right. The water is dirty or not there. And then you want to fix the problem by manipulating the taps. That doesn't work. If you want to manage a municipal water supply, you have to manage the watershed and the dams. Are there enough? Are they placed correctly? Then the treatment of the water, then the reticulation, and then eventually it arrives at the tap. You know, so when we're talking about municipal water supply management, we need to look at the whole system. And it seems as though the minister and her team, who's supposed to be advising her and supposed to be experts, want to do the silly thing of managing the supply by only manipulating the taps.
Perhaps it was incorrect for the minister's department to look at that period too, because it was partly during COVID and a longer period evaluation might have been something that they should have considered. But as MD of Sentinel Homes, you are not a banker per se, even though you've got a lot of experience in financial services. But why did you come to the defense of banks on this matter?
So I don't like, as a general principle, the prevailing politics of bank bashing in our country. I think it's irresponsible, and it also doesn't aid anything to the real solutions that we're seeking for our country and for our economy. But that's not really what it's about. I think, you know, as a society, Suren, we must move past this idea of identity, right? I'm not coming to the defense of banks, really. My passion in life is getting South Africans housed. I view it as a key economic issue. It's also why I've made my business in the property finance industry. We need to get South Africans housed. And so a large part of that is getting the housing, the finance story sorted out. And so as far as that is concerned, I trust that the minister and I are birds of a feather. It just seems as though the minister is very ill-informed. And it's not so much coming to the defense of banks also. As part of my recent study of the Bureau that I had commissioned, in order to be able to answer questions like this, I found that there are in fact 53 separate entities that report home loans to the Credit Bureau. And we know we only have a number of banks. And so the home loans industry, if we're counting by home loan providers, is actually not banks. It's a much wider industry.
Renier, one of your arguments following the minister's comments is that banks make money from awarding credit and not denying it. So the more loans they approve, you know, in a good market, as it were, they would try to do that. But is it as simple as that? Can you share further context on why you came out so strongly on this matter, considering your role at Sentinel Homes? And we'll get to what the company does in a sec.
So I think that the prime problem that we have in South Africa when it comes to home finance, which is a part of the broader problem of property ownership in South Africa, is that there is a large market design problem. Now, just like the banks regulate traffic by firstly building the homes and then employing the police officers to police it, similarly, the government makes all sorts of other markets, like it designs the property market by putting certain laws and procedures, principles and regulations in place and then policing them. Now, what the minister is proposing is to add another stick to the system. And sticks, if this is one thing that we've learned perhaps from the communist economic experience, is that the stick is a poorer motivator than the carrot. In fact, if we want to solve this problem, we need to design the market correctly so that the actors in the market who are incentivized to make money from actually lending out money and not sitting on it, will lend out the money in a manner that makes sense to them financially, from a financial responsibility point of view. And so that's the problem in South Africa, is that the market is incorrectly designed, and we must change those design features that make the deployment of capital uneconomical in certain circumstances. That has nothing to do with race, and the fact that it may be the lived experience of some people that who are previously disadvantaged individuals as classified by the Act, that they struggle to get a home loan, but that is part of the experience of many people in South Africa. And actually, if you look at my second question is whether the minister's data has actually been adjusted to allow for income disparities, right? Because in South Africa, because of our deplorable history, which must still be fixed 30 years after we've got democracy, the fact of the matter is that certain groups based on race are still wealthier than other groups. And is wealth not the reason why we have the disparity when it comes to the provision of home loans? Because I can promise you that for people in Constantia, whether they are black or white or Indian or brown or whatever race they may be, if you live in Constantia and you're relatively rich, you have no problem getting a home loan. The same is not to be said of someone who lives, say, in Alexandra or in Diepsloot or in Kaguletu. And to the extent that living in some of these suburbs is racially determined, that is a product of the past, and that is outside of the minister's scope to really fix. But the property industry does play a very important role in wealth building, which is something that we need in South Africa in order to fix these problems of the past. And by adding another race-based incentive that is essentially tap manipulation, we're not really solving the problem. The minister needs to focus on the real things, the hard political things, things that are politically expensive and costly, in order to solve the real problem.
Thanks for your comments on that. But just going back to Sentinel Homes, it describes itself as a disruptor in the home loans market. Where does it play in this market? Is it an originator? What does it do?
No, in fact, we do precisely what the banks do, and that is we provide home loans in the market. So we actually underwrite these home loans ourselves. Our target market is precisely the kinds of people who are left behind because of poor market design. And these include people who are self-employed, freelancers, people who earn periodic income, people who have more than one employer, people who work abroad. foreigners who are legally employed in South Africa and live here but can't get home loans, and all sorts of other people who are left behind when it comes to the home loans industry. And the novelty that we've introduced is that we structure that home loan not as a mortgage loan but as an installment sale agreement, which then broadens the credit appetite. So, in fact, if you think about it, Suren, I am commenting on market distortions when my businesses in fact make money out of market distortions, right? So I'm trying not to give the minister advice, but I'm commenting on a set of facts and a set of circumstances that actually I should keep mum about, because the more silent I am about it, the more money my businesses make.
What would you say some of the solutions around the housing challenges in South Africa? I know that's quite a broad question, but clearly you are kind of also saying that the minister must stay in a lane and not get involved in housing finance per se. Are you saying that?
No. I think the minister is entirely inside of her lane. She's thinking about the problem that I'm also thinking about, and that we all as responsible citizens, I think, should be thinking about. And that is, how do we democratize property ownership? How do we disassociate property ownership from race? And how do we equalize things so that we can get away from this history that we have as a country, which I think we'd all rather not have? And so I'm thinking about the same problem as the minister and the team. And as I think are everyone in property finance, who are trying to give more home loans because that is how we make profit and put bread on the plates of our children, right? So I think the first problem we have in South Africa is a demand problem, which is precisely this one that the minister has fingered. And that's the problem, that there are too many people who can't access home loans. Why is that? And it's especially in the gap housing market. These are people who are earning too much money to qualify for an RDP house, but are just slightly too impecunious to access the true open market. And it's about 30% of households, right, which the minister refers to in her presser also as the missing middle, the gap market. And how do we serve these people? And if you think about it, most of the service that needs to happen there needs to be intermediated by the private sector. There's this old story, which may be apocryphal, about some Soviet economists who visited London in the 70s, and over a cocktail party, one of the Soviet economists said that, you know, they're astonished to find bread on all the shop shelves in London. Who's the bureaucrat who's tasked with supplying the bread to London? And the answer, of course, is that there is no one that is tasked with supplying the bread to London. People want bread. There are shops. There are shelves full with the necessary amount of bread, right? That's how a market economy works. The carrot is a bigger motivator than the stick. And so the fact that there are 30% of households who are only getting 10% of mortgages when they should be getting 50, that is a very big problem. And the question is, why is the private sector not meeting that demand? Because if it were bread that we were talking about, that demand would be met. And the answer is that we need foreclosure and eviction reform in South Africa. That's the first step. It's much too difficult and it takes much too long and it is much too costly for both the bank and the consumer in the case that we have a foreclosure. And it, you know, if you want to put this in a different, because the words foreclosure and eviction in South Africa are emotionally very loaded. And we understand why. Once again, this is tied to our history. And this is also why I say that the minister must focus on these things that are politically difficult rather than the easy things like race baiting, right? But if you want, as a general principle, if you want a transaction to happen, you must make it cheap and easy, right? And so if you want for the holders of capital, be they landlords or banks or anyone else providing a home loan, to engage in transactions with consumers towards the lower end of the income distribution, which they currently are not, then you must make it cheap and easy. And how do you do that? You make it cheap and easy for the holders of capital to take a chance on a consumer. Because the problem that we're solving is we're essentially saying, if we look at our laws and our regulations and our procedures, that once you've lived in a brick and mortar house in the formal economy, you somehow become special and you can no longer have any other situation. But the problem that we should in fact be solving is that for every one person who's living in a brick and mortar house, there are about 5 or 6 people standing in the queue who are unlikely ever to be granted access because it's too expensive to venture a chance on them. If they don't pay you, it takes months and millions upon millions of rands to get rid of them and to reset the transaction so that someone else can get a chance. We must make it easy for people to cycle in to the market. And the only way of doing that is making it cheap for the holders of capital to venture a chance on consumers. And what will happen then in a market such as that is that some people will cycle in, some will stick, some will fail out again and try again later. And eventually everyone will be housed. And that's what we need. We have a 2.3 million unit housing backlog in South Africa by the NHFC's own estimation. And if we can tackle just 10% of that, that also creates a whole host of jobs in our economy, which is something we need, which in turn, once again, finances further housing production and access to housing for people who are currently, say, unemployed or don't have adequate employment. So this is a very important problem. The minister is not outside of her lane. She's just looking at the problem and coming up with completely the wrong solution.
Rin, I need to ask about this forthright in your comments, but foreclosure reform, what are you talking about around foreclosure reform in South Africa? What do you mean?
The court rolls are very full in South Africa. The court rolls are exceptionally full, and so it takes very long to get the cases heard. Then there are all sorts of defences that are not related to the central issue, whether the homeowner is actually being paid. And then we have this terrible proceeding called a sheriff's auction where everyone loses. Now, the sheriff's auction is like a boil in the property market. And what the courts have recently done is they've put a plaster on that boil, right? Which is this new rule that says that it can't go to a sheriff's auction without a reserve price. But that, once again, does not solve the problem. What actually should happen, and this is the optimal solution if I as a lawyer can comment on it, is that the foreclosing bank or home loan provider should have a possessory remedy. So you should be able to enter into and get rid of the current occupants of the property in order to sell it in an orderly fashion in the open market. And it should be quick. It should not take long. The question to whether you are paying or not is an easy question that has a yes or no answer. Did you borrow the money and did you pledge to pay it? Yes. Are you paying? No. Case closed. That's the end of the matter.
Yeah, but I suppose the banks don't really want to get too much more involved in the property sector per se, but that will be a topic of another time. So thanks for a little insight on that. I'm sure we can talk a lot longer. Rinya, just in terms of your role as MD of Sentinel, turning to the market, as it were, just to close out the interview, what are your expectations around the market performance and interest rates? It seems estate agencies, and I know you're not an estate agency, but they're already getting into overdrive, punting interest rates, driving the market when it's only been 25 basis points so far.
Yeah, so I think that the 25 basis points is more of a symbolic victory. It doesn't really save anyone money. We know that in South Africa, currently, the real interest rate is much too high and inflation is in the doldrums. And so I think that it's indefensible, really, for the MPC to have cut the rates by so little. I'm not alone in this conviction. There are many seasoned and well-respected economists who seem to agree with this. And I know that many also in the bond and similar fixed income markets are also enthused about their conviction that 25 basis points was the irrational thing to do. Once again, we're solving the problem for the rich people who have money in savings accounts rather than the hundreds upon millions of poor and vulnerable people who need jobs and need the economy to grow so that it can work for everyone, which to me seems irresponsible and also immoral. However, the interest rate is much too high and the MPC seems to agree. So I think we can agree that this is the first step in a cutting cycle and that the interest rates are probably going to come down by a significant amount and sort of reach the mean reversion towards the point where it was when in 2019 before the COVID pandemic rocked all of our worlds. And so I think from a property market point of view, consumers will have taken note of the fact that this cutting cycle has begun and both sellers and purchasers in the market will be spilling in and trying to get their pent-up demand manifested as property sales and purchase volumes.
Yeah, on that Reserve Bank thing, I think they're sticking to the mandate. And the big question is whether that mandate will change, whether it's a lower inflation target or to focus on growth as opposed to keeping inflation low. But that also is a topic for another time. Rinya, yes. I appreciate your time on the podcast today on a busy Friday for you. That was Rinya Crick, a CEO of Cape Town-based Sentinel Homes.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Property Pod with Suren Naidu. To listen to more episodes, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates. Follow Suren on Twitter at Suren Naidu for more of his property industry content and other business stories. The Property Pod.